desire your prayers. Lord, help us tonight. I'm thinking about the need that we have of to be able to change, and how hard it is for us humans to accept change, be willing for things to change. I think we need the Lord to help us in those kind of things. First of all, I think we have a problem even acknowledging that we need to change. I think it's the first place we need to come to when there is places in our lives to be able to say, I need to change. It's hard to come to that for people. There's things that we can be ingrained with all of our lives, to have things in our lives, and it's hard sometimes to say. It's one of the things that the Jews run into. You imagine the depths of that and what they had known and all. It was foretold deeply in the Scriptures of what the God really had intended, but it was missed so much. To be able to be willing to change the things of our life that need to be changed, I tell you, I believe we need the Lord to help us to be able to do that. I'm thinking of some of the times the things that motivate me to think this way. I remember a story that happened several years ago. It was a young woman from the United States. I don't remember exactly what state she was from, but she's young, 18 years old, just graduated high school. She got with some friends, and they took off on a vacation to the Caribbean, some island in the Caribbean, wherever down there, partying. 18 years old. Oh, do you know how many times I hear these kind of stories, and I have a heart, I would say, I wish I could change the way people think. Oh, yeah. I sure wish I could change those kind of things. You could start off with me, and I know you could say, Brother Marty, you're old-fashioned, you're sick in the mud, and it's okay, you can say it. But if you started off to me saying that one of my daughters, 18 years old, is going to take off to the Caribbean with her friends, I'm going to say it's a bad thing. Okay? It's a bad thing. She went down there. It was a big story in the news here for a long time. She went down there. Was down there for a week or so. She partied around, had friends there, fun. Packed her bags, I think, on a Saturday night. They had to leave the next day. The last time she was seen of any of her friends was up 2 or 3 o'clock in the night. She left the bar with three young men. Never to be seen again. Her family searched for her. She was gone. She was gone. Today, nobody knows. Oh, there's somebody that probably knows, but the officials don't know. Her family, been years now, are still got the heartache and the trouble bothering them of a daughter, 18 years old, all of her life ahead of her. She's gone. She's gone. I'm going to tell you, that makes me, when I hear those kind of things, wish for the ability to change people. Oh, yeah. I'd like to be able to say the right words to change those kind of things. To me, I see disaster written all over that from the very start of the story. Her parents didn't see anything wrong with it. Friends didn't see anything wrong with it. A lot didn't see anything wrong with it. I've seen something wrong with it from the start. And I wish you could have the words to say, don't throw your life away. Don't throw your life away. I knew what you're doing. I was there as a young man. I know what you're trying to fulfill. You're not going to fulfill it down there. I know what's longing. You're not going to do it. You need something, but that's not it. That's not what's going to do it. You're going to sow the wind and you're going to reap the whirlwind, but that's not going to do it for you. Oh, I wish I could speak the words tonight. I see, oh, I've got the small little crowd here. So I'll speak to you tonight, especially the young people tonight. Hear me, because no doubt there's some here, 17, 18, through those years. Folks, the people that's tried, it's failed. It's really, there's nothing valuable there. Lord, help us. You know what we need? You know what you need? You don't need religion. Okay? There's a lot of religion. That's not what you need. You don't need to be joined just to a group. Groups won't do it either. But there are something that you need, I need, we all need. You need your own personal, get me now. You need your own personal revelation from Jesus Christ. Because that's what can't be taken away from you. Everything else can, but that can't. You remember the man in the Bible that was a blind man? I think of him often. He was a blind man. Had much need in his life of change. Wanted change. These things changed. Couldn't do it for himself. But along comes a man named Jesus. And Jesus comes and heals the blind man. You remember the scenario that played out with this man's life? He was healed. To the glory of God, Jesus healed him. But then there was those come along that said, he didn't heal you. And they tried to look around and say, was he really blind? You know how it'd be. You know, you think about this blind man. You couldn't take that from him. What are you going to say to the blind man? Are you going to say to him, listen, you just thought you was blind all these years? Or you're faking? No matter what you said to him, he knew he was blind. And now I see. They said to him, give God the credit. Give God the credit. And this man's, we know this man's a sinner. He basically said, I don't know about all that, but this I know. I was blind, and now I see. Something's happened to me, and you can't never take it from me. I've got something that's real and right. You need that thing that's real in your life. You need a revelation. A revelation is, you know, everybody wants a revelation. Most people want a revelation of some big deed in the world or something I could prophesy. Or something. That's not the revelation the Lord really wants for you. The Lord's got a revelation. It's the revelation of Himself. He wants to reveal Himself to you in such a real way that all the devils in hell can't take that from you. That's what's going to outshine. I remember one time we was in a revival meeting in Oklahoma City, and we was coming back up towards Guthrie, and we passed a, and listen, I ain't preaching against fun or amusement park, but we passed that little amusement park down there. And it, the lights was going and all that. I'm going to tell you, the Lord really blessed down there in that revival that night. I mean, it was really good. And we was driving back up through there, and I looked over at that amusement park, and I remember saying, oh yeah, look at the amusement. Look at the fun. My wife said, yeah, Six Flags Over Texas and all that stuff. It wasn't a matter of saying, now which one do I want? Or would that be fun? I had something so much more. And it didn't appeal. It just didn't appeal to me. I drive by thinking, oh, if they all knew what just drove by. If they just knew what really goes on and happens, they'd all run down out of there. They would all try. They'd want something that's more exciting, better, and has more to it. Lord, help us to get something in our lives. And the willingness that we have to change. Anyone that would come to me and say they've got the experience of salvation that hasn't had a changed life, I don't believe. Salvation changes, makes a new man out of an old one. It changes the way you think, who you are, your desires, your purposes. It changes you. And without that change, and you know, I find that it's not just that one change, but I find that God is willing and wants to continually work and change the things that need change in our life, that are embedded in our life. It isn't always instantly taken out. Most of the time it's not. Most of the time the work in the heart is the work of the heart that changes the desires and the wants. And then the Lord begins to reveal and show. I would like to think that I could say, oh, whatever's wrong with me tonight, Lord, let me wait tomorrow new. But I haven't found it to work that way. I have found it that the Lord allows the events of life to happen until He shows me places in my life, and then I'm at the place that I say, Lord, help me. Give me the grace for this. Help me to know how to change these kind of things. And probably there's a lot of things that needed change in my life, and I was probably the last one to know it. You all probably have known it already. Because that's the nature of those kind of things. You know, there's another man in the Bible. Actually, he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Not that he'd done great things, but that his humanity and his wrestle and all of that is so evident to me. And his name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of these people that needed to change. And he was scared of it. Okay? He was afraid of what was happening. And yet the honesty of this man's heart caused him to do things, maybe not totally, but he wrestled. Can't you feel, have you ever read that? You ever feel the wrestle that Nicodemus had to have had? Here was a man that wanted the right things in his life. I believe that. And yet he had a wrestle because Nicodemus was one of the higher ups in the thing. He was one of the well knowns and all those things. And so now he's wrestling. And if he goes there in the daytime, you remember the story, it's in the third chapter of John. He comes by night. Nicodemus. He comes by night. Why night? So he could sneak around the corner, around the other side here, so that his friends wouldn't see him, so the Sanhedrin wouldn't hear about it, so the other wouldn't know about it. But he went to the Lord. What drove him to do it? What made him to do it? Something in his heart. He wanted something more than he had, and he recognized it. I'm going to tell you, the man was honest. And he looked at it, and he heard of the Lord, and he knew about it, and he had to have wrestled with what he knew. And then he comes to the Lord. You find it in 3rd chapter of John. But you remember what he said? He come to him and said, Master, we know thou art of God. Now, you know what that means? I want you to realize what that means. It means that I'm taking my arguments away, Lord. You understand that's what it means? It means that I'm wholeheartedly going to listen to you. You don't say somebody's of God and then argue about what they're saying. He took his argument away. He says, Master, we know thou art of God. I'm releasing it on you, Lord. Okay? Because no man can do these miracles unless God be with him. He gave himself to this idea. Yeah, he wrestled with it. But I love the idea of a man that was willing to go and make himself vulnerable to hear the words. And the Lord started saying things to him that just had him in circles. What do you mean? How could this be? How can a man be born again? How can these things be so? And the Lord said to him, you're a master of Israel. I know not this. You should know this. This is what it's been about. Okay, so Nicodemus comes at night. As far as I know, he left in the night too. But he heard words. He heard the words, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that it gave His only begotten. And He spoke that to Nicodemus. You don't think that, you know, the Scripture says that He spoke with authority? Do you know what that must have meant for Nicodemus and his soul to walk away from there that night to have heard those words from the Master Himself? He had to have quaked and shivered. The end of Nicodemus isn't a bad story. I think Nicodemus was a true follower of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, it cost him. And he had to be willing, at some point, he had to be willing to change. He had to be willing to say, Lord, lead me and help me to see what I can't see. You know what that is? That's definition of a revelation. To reveal. Lord, reveal to me. I didn't hear it from someone else, but Lord, it isn't the same. It didn't got the power to it. Lord, reveal to me. Somebody can come up to me and say, you need to do this, 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 and this. And I'll almost always close the door on them. You do too. Yes, you do. Somebody come like that, you close the door on them. You won't accept the human, they may be right, but they done it wrong, people will say. A lot of times I'm scratching my head. No, I just want the truth. Lord! reveal. Me and a guy in the office one day, we were surveyors, and we got in an argument over topos, how they was done, topographical. He says, no, it's this way. And I said, well, what about if it's this? No, he said, it's this way. And I said, it doesn't seem to be that could fit in every situation. And he finally said, one of us said, let's ask the boss. And we both said, he knows. So when the boss come in, it was no argument. We both said to one another, he knows. So when the boss come in, we asked him, and he said it was the way the other guy said it was, not the way I said it was. And I said, that's the way it is. It wasn't that it made sense to me. I knew he knew. I knew he knew how it worked. And I accepted it. He was right. He was right. We need a revelation from one that we know and accept. I would like to start tonight in the third chapter of Matthew. I'll start in the first verse. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, all Judea, all the regions around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. Now, the setting of this, some other say in this scripture, that when he said he saw many coming, that the word privately is there. It makes sense in the reading. Think about it. This is the setting. John the Baptist is openly preaching repentance. He isn't sneaking around doing it. He's openly preaching, repent of your sins and be baptized. Alright? And many came openly. They come openly to be baptized. They heard it openly. It was preached openly. They accepted it openly before the whole public crowd. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I need change. John the Baptist is a man of God, and they recognized it and seen the fervency of his preaching and understood the willing of the Spirit, and they said, I'm a sinner. And he went to be baptized. Openly. With fruits of repentance. You know, they repented in their hearts. They were willing to humble themselves before the whole world. I need to change. I need to change. The Spirit of God has touched me. I'm not right with God. And I need to change. Folks, that's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. There was a man in the scripture, two men went up to pray one time, one being a Pharisee, and his was a flowery, God owes me type prayer. I am so good, God, you owe me. That was the way he did it. I do this, I fast, I do this. Say, I'm thankful I'm not as other men or even this publican. And God owes me for my goodness. But the publican, he said he wouldn't even lift his head up. He just kept his head down, smote himself on his breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Which one of those? They both needed changing. One seen it, one didn't. Folks, we need to change some things sometimes. Lord, help us. Reveal it to our hearts, Lord, and help us to know when we need to change. I don't want to become self-righteous. They say that the Pharisees, those that study these kind of things, said that the Pharisees had been around for some, actually since sometime after the Babylonian captivity. And almost definitely they started out in sincerity. As a very desirous people to hold what God had given to hold, both outwardly and inwardly. But over the ages, it corrupted into what we know as the Pharisees of the Jesus' day were very corrupted people inside and nothing. And they didn't know it. The Lord Himself wasn't very successful with them. Could that happen to me? Yes. That could happen to me. The only safeguard against that is that I keep myself honest before the Lord. Reveal to me my motives, my desires, why I do what it is. Help me to get it right, Lord. You're the only way that I can. So these men here in this reading, they come to the Lord privately. That's why God did not want to baptize them. You can read it and see plainly that they come to be baptized for the way He talked. They come to be baptized. But they didn't come to be baptized. They come privately. And that's why He said, who has warned you? Because if you got warned, it was public. I never warned you privately. Who told you privately? If it wasn't done privately, then why are you trying to do this privately? You heard it openly. And then you should repent openly. You should bring yourself to it openly before the whole world. They didn't have the right thing in their heart to change. And He knew it. And His words were tough words. Oh, generation of vipers is a lot stronger than just calling somebody a viper. Do you realize that? You might become a viper a lot of different ways. But when He says you're a generation of vipers, it means you're a viper right down in your bloodline. Your father's father was a viper. Your daddy was a viper. You're a viper and all your children are vipers. You've never had anything come good to you and you never sent anything good away. It's a poison system that you had. Had they had come in honesty, don't you think John the Baptist would have baptized them? If they had come with meat and repentance and come and said, Lord, we're sinners. We're sinners. Your message caught me. Caught me right where I'm at. I need a change. They recognized something needs to change, but they snuck around because they didn't want it to be out that they was going into John and all that. And He reproved them for it. And He says, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Folks, there's a wrath coming. God isn't pleased with the motion of our world, of our nation. There's a wrath to come. God's very displeased. The Scripture says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And He didn't back up on that one. God is going to be displeased. Not with His people that truly trust and serve Him, but He's displeased with the direction of this world. I want to be any found any favor. Oh, generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee? The wrath to come. And then this is His admonition to them. Bring forth, therefore, fruit. Meet the repentance. Sneaking around trying to do this and that. You'll never get anywhere, folks. No, He says bring some fruit. What a seed. Some sincerity of your hearts. Come with your face in your hands. Come with a desire and a realization of who you are and what you need in life. Lord, help us. Oh, I think I ought to have something, just don't know what it is. That's not the way it works. I remember Brother Jim White. I like to speak of him. Brother Jim White was a dear friend and mentor of mine. Brother Jim was a man that had went off to World War II with a young man. Some of you have heard me speak of him. He went off at about 22 years old, young man. He had a wife and a small child. And he went off to war. He perished. He was one of the first waves, or in the first wave, 13th plane, I believe, was the first wave to go across and jump into Normandy. He was part of the 101st Airborne, jumped into Normandy. Later, he was in Holland, a parachute jump up there, where they tried to take a very famous battle they had up there, where they tried to take a bridge to the north so they could get around the Rhine and all that. It failed. He was in that. Later, they rushed 101st Airborne to Baston, and he was in Baston, stuck in there, surrounded by the Germans when Patton come and gone out. He saw that war firsthand. And he told me, he said, it made him bitter. It made him bitter. He said he's seen death and destruction all around him. You see people that you get to know die. And you make yourself hard. That's what he told me. You make yourself hard and you endure it. And he come home one day. After a couple years of that, he come home to a wife and a child that he hadn't seen for years. And he told me, he said, I looked upon them for the first time of those years with no human emotion whatsoever. Because he was so hard. He had a little, he told me he had a little comfort with some of the other guys from war. They go over to this bar and they had some camaraderie. But other than that, he could hardly function. But you know what happened with him? The great God of heaven started having mercy. You know how he done it? Brother Jim told me that the Lord convinced him that he was the worst sinner that ever lived. That's what he said. That in the times of God dealing with his heart, that the Spirit of God convinced him of the depths of his sins and how bad he was. And he acknowledged it. That he needed to change. And he brought fruit. Meat for repentance. A man that you couldn't have got a tear out of any for anything. Wept. You know what I found out about something about this man? The Lord saved him. No, it wasn't all smooth sailing. If he was here tonight, he would tell you, I had a lot of ups and downs. I had a lot of things that I didn't understand or know how to make better. You know what I've seen over the years? He'd tell stories about his life, and I'd say, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. The change that happened in his life was so dramatic, folks. It was so real. You know what he longed for above anything else? He was a hard man that nobody got along with. He wanted to be gentle. I've seen a number of times in my young ministry to where I'd have a message on gentleness or something along that line. And the most gentle person in the whole congregation would rise and go weeping to the altar. And he would tell me, I've been so hard in my life. I want to be gentle. I want to be gentle. He longed to be gentle in his life. And the Lord had revealed that to him in his life. We all need the revelation of God. Of who we are. Who are you? Do you know? Most of us will justify. Most of all, this is why, this is why, this is why. We need someone outside of all that to reveal to us who we are. God wants tonight to reveal you to you. He wants to show you who you are so that you can know what to do about it. God's the one that's got to do it. But he will not do it in a lightning flash and a thunder, the sound of thunder, and in your leg better. No! He works by your choice and desire to have it above everything else. And when you want it to that degree, you can have it. And the Lord's there to work in every one of our hearts tonight. If you got issues, I'm going to tell you, you don't even know, understand, do you find yourself dysfunctional? We have too much dysfunction. In our nation, in our country, in our homes, our families, there's dysfunction everywhere. The dysfunction, this is what it comes from. Dysfunction comes from selfishness.
Yes, it does.
When I have to have what I want for me, no matter what else it is, I become dysfunctional. You have to do it to please me. Congregations are dysfunctional when there's carnality. Totally dysfunctional. And the ones that said most of the time don't ever see themselves in us. There's some good people. They're people that want to do it right. They don't see themselves. Oh, I'm convinced that if the curtain could be pulled back and this community right here of Prague would see what they're in for, what their destiny is, where they're going. If they could only be revealed back and see, surely they wouldn't want to go that way. They don't even see who they are. They don't even understand it. I don't think these Pharisees did either. I don't think they understood. He called them a generation of vipers. It doesn't say what the response is. But what would you do if he called you that? Is it true? Lord, is it true? Am I a viper? Have I got a poisonous bite? Do I hurt people? Do I cause people to lose out on their soul? Is that who I am? Lord, help us. Another scripture we like to look at in 2 Samuel. It's very familiar to most of us. You remember what King David's discretion was? Just in a short story, I'll tell you. He looked upon a woman that wasn't his wife. He took the woman that wasn't his wife. It was Uriah's wife. He was with her. She was a child. He had to cover it up. He kept trying to cover it up. This was the one that had slew the giant. This is the one that had killed his 10,000s. This is the one that God had blessed over and over again, but he got in a place. You know what the first thing he did? He forgot who he was. He lost who he was. This wasn't the noble man that always put God first, trusted in the Lord. This is the one that falls back now, and because of the things, the way life goes, he starts off by, first of all, time the king should be at war. That's in the 11th chapter, you'll see that. He wasn't there. He didn't go. He stayed in his house. He found himself in a bad place. He looks upon a woman, it snowballs on him, and now he's got to get rid of Uriah. First he brings Uriah home, try to cover it that way. Uriah was a man of integrity, wouldn't even go be with his wife. Stayed out on the porch. Said, no, far be it from me if the armies of Israel are intense and I'm with my own. No, if they hear. What an honorable man. So much that he couldn't be caught in the trap. David had him killed. You believe that? David had him killed. And then goes on like nothing happened. Right? 12th chapter, 2 Samuel. The Lord is merciful, folks. I know what we think many times. We think, I don't want to be caught. I don't want people to know that about me. But can I say this? The worst thing that can happen to you is for the Lord to shut up and say nothing. If the Lord says nothing and don't reveal who you are, you will never know on this side of eternity. It is the mercy of God that allows us to see who we are. It's the mercy of God that shows a sinner he's a sinner. It's the mercy of God that shows us where we need to work or it'll catch up with us. Where our flesh will get us. It's the mercy of God that'll show that to our lives. And this was the mercy of God. Another scripture said, how do you know that? Who in there is taking secrets? He said, there's no spy. God tells him what you're thinking on your bed, on your pillow. God knows what David did. He tells Nathan. The Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came unto him, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city. You be the judge tonight of this. There were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. The poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. David's vision's pretty good, isn't it? Said, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And why not? Was that not obvious? Is there anybody in here of even a slight age that wouldn't judge this one right? Who couldn't be angry of such a thing? There was a total injustice. We all can feel that and know it to be true. And David saw it plainly. His wrath was kindled. He's ready to lay judgments now. Can you judge in other men's matters? Can you judge? Have you got a righteous judgment to make about the things? Can you look in some and say these things? Yes. For sure. It's obvious. That's not where we got it crossed up. It's our own lives. It's where it crosses up. It's where I have an invested interest. It's where I can't see it plain from my own needs and wants. And we're all human here. And we all need a revelation from God about who we are from time to time. Do you know there was a man in the Bible that I believe that was as headstrong towards God as anybody ever was, and his name was Peter? I'm going to tell you, Peter was wrong. He was wrong about Cornelius and that deal. He needed a revelation, you remember it? He wasn't ready to accept the Gentiles at all. No, no. And the Lord showed him something by revelation. That he had something now to say. He needed it, folks, for himself. He could not be convinced by mere words. You thought he'd have it right, right? You know there was a time after that that Paul said, I withstood him to his face because he was wrong. What was he wrong about? Well, this is what he started doing. He would eat with the Gentiles and the Jews would come. And the Jews would come in, and he'd separate them and have them separate off from the Gentiles and split the brethren. And when Paul come in, he was called a minister to the Gentiles. When he come in then, he rebuked Peter to his face over it. And said, you're wrong. Yep. And you know what his argument was? His argument was, how do we tell them the very law that we have laid down for the gospel to tell them to pick it up? Peter didn't have no word for him. Well, can you argue about that? He needed a revelation. I need a revelation. David had it right in his kingly wisdom to deal with the matters of the kingdom. He didn't judge this one right. It says in his anger was kindled greatly against the man, and he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth. Boy, that's strong. The man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. See, David's worried about pity. It's right to have pity. It's right to be merciful. It's right to speak kind words to somebody that's down and out. It's just right. Nathan said to David, these words should reverb through every one of us. Thou art the man. You know, as I speak that, I can almost feel the knife hit. Thou art the man. I'm caught. I'm that man. oh my, I'm that man. What about in disputes that we have among ourselves, among our families, or among our... We don't have this always have this prophet to come by. You know, in everything like that, we ought to earnestly seek the Lord for revelation. About me! Where am I getting this right? Lord, help me to put it right. To have care and concern for all men. Nathan said it to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hands of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives, and to thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, David, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. What did God like for you, David? Why would you do such a thing like that? You know what he needed? David was still considered man of God. You know why? He brought his meat of repentance. When David repented, read it in the 51st Psalm, read it. He repented all the way. He went all the way. He was contrite. He hated what he done. He was willing to do whatever it took for it. It was revealed unto him who he was. The depths of who he was. Lord, help us tonight. I think God reveals, but he can't reveal to those that won't allow it. He won't reveal to those that won't allow it. But to those that desire, Lord, help me to see and know and to understand who I am and what I am. And what I am before you. Am I acceptable? Do I claim the name of Jesus and show everything but that? I'm going to tell you, Jesus walked the way before us and shows us how to walk in humility and love. He shows us how to treat others and what we should do. Is that what we do? Or do I justify myself into saying, we don't really believe it. It's the people most of the time. And sometimes I wonder if we don't just believe, oh, it's just, I'm covered. And yet my life is just anything. I need a revelation from God. My own heart. You need a revelation about who you are. I can't tell you tonight. It's impossible. I can't tell you. I'd miss it every time. But God knows who you are. And I think most of us know about where we're at tonight, too. Am I comfortable with saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I long to see you. Or, if I got those things that I want to say, I'd like to have a little time. Maybe I have somebody that I need to talk to. Maybe I have something I need to straighten up. I need to make sure this is right. You need revelation from the Lord. There was another situation in the Bible. God is so much wanting to reveal himself and reveal to people. Over in the 4th chapter of John. Oh, I'm going to pick it up. Let's see. Well, I'll start with the first verse. There's a little bit of reading. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that Thou being a Jew, ask drink of me, which is am a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, and that thou sayest truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Why? You know, it's prophesied of Jesus when he would come that he would tell them all things. I don't think it's right that all is told in this story. This woman goes away, and she goes down and starts telling the people, You've got to come. Why? Because the Messiah's up there. Now what? What was it prophesied? He'd tell you all things you've ever done. And he's him. By revelation. She knew something. She got something by revelation. He revealed to her himself. He told her things that you never done before. God wants you to... You can hide all the things of your life, but the Lord wants you to know that he knows. The Lord knows about those kind of things in your life, and he wants you to deal with the things of your life. He told the Samaritan woman, Yeah, you've had five husbands. How did you know that? You remember another scripture? It's a good one, a good passage. Here comes Nathanael. Jesus looks and says, A true Israelite in one there's no guile. Nathanael says, in my own language, We've never met. How would you say such a thing of me? We don't even know fully what he was talking about. But Jesus knew, and Nathanael knew. He said, I was under the fig tree with you. You know in that fig tree? Oh, my God. Who was it that was met him under the fig tree? And how did anybody know his experience under the fig tree? It was because he had it with the Lord there. And the Lord knew him, knew his heart, knew what he was about. And when he said, You're the true Israelite, that was a true Israelite. This one had it in his heart. But he's also the one that we want to say, You're little less than a true Israelite. Lord, how can I be a true Israelite? You need to take care of some things. Got some things in your life. By revelation, this happened. You know, we preach a no-soul salvation, and you know why we do? Because it's by revelation. That's why. That's why you can know till it can't be took away from you. Because it's from revelations of Jesus himself into your heart. Until where you can tell all the devils, I'm saved and I know I am. I know where I was met. I know what I was. I know what I was changed from. I know what I was delivered from. And you can say there was nothing to this thing if you want to, but I know that there is because I got a revelation. Jesus one time said, unless you drink this cup and eat this, drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part. And from that point, many of his disciples walked no more with him. What did he say so bad? They didn't understand. He turns to his disciples and the 12 and says, will you go away also? Peter says, to whom will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You talking about stuck? Thou hast no, there's no place else to go. Who do men say that I am? He asked them. One place. Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elias. Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. Well, then where did he get it? He got it through the Spirit. He got it from the Father. He got it from God. Something's real. This is Christ, the Son of the living God in our hearts. It's a must that you have a revelation for yourself. You can be a part. You can come to services. You can raise your hand. You can sing the songs. You can do everything. But you'll never really have it until you got the revelation for yourself. The church of God is made up of people, individuals. It isn't a man's institution. It's God's institution. His church is made up of individuals washed in the blood with the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And we exclude no one. All you got to do to be a part of it is to be washed in the blood. That's all it takes. When the old devil thinks he stomps it out, he saw it in many places and many times, and he stomped it out and got it going. And then some poor old wretched sinner in the hopelessness of his life lifts up his head and says, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. And the church pops up again. That's all it is. That's all it is. And now there's another one with a revelation that can't keep his mouth shut about it. And then he has the same heart the rest of us when he sees the young girls going off to destroy themselves. His heart busted. He wants to stop them. And he wants to say, I was headed the same way. But the revelation changed me. You need a revelation. This world's going to chew you up and spit you out. But the Lord has made you, as Brother Ed said at the beginning, the Lord's made you a flower and something beautiful and important, and He's got a destiny and a purpose for your life that He wants you to fulfill. He wants to put you in the bouquet of His beautiful things. And He offers it. Oh, what a beautiful picture tonight. Do you know that it is, that there is, the Lord wants to make a simple trade, and it's found in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. You can trade beauty for ashes. You want beauty? What's it going to cost you? Just some ashes. You can bring an old burnout life. Burnout! Nothing left. You know what ashes is? Ashes makes a great insulator. You know why? It's already burned. There's nothing left in there to burn. There's nothing good in there anymore. So it insulates against fire. And the fire won't go through it. It can't burn it. There's nothing left in there valuable. I know what I do with my ashes for myself. I dump them over the hill. No, there might be some good for something, but you can do nothing with ashes. And the Lord said, I'll trade you. You went out and burned your life out? What a God. What a plan. What a gospel. I'll bring revelation into your life. Allow you to understand things that you can never understand. I'm not very smart, and I can't articulate things very well, but I'm going to tell you something. It just comes alive to me. And it's not because I'm smart. It's not because I got a PhD in it. It's because I have a heart for it. And it just comes alive at times. It's by revelation of God's Spirit to our lives. I'm so thankful for it. Thank God that He's willing to take this little bit of ashes that I brought to Him and to do something with it. I want to look at one more scripture in Philippians. Speak of another. Remember when the Lord tells His disciples that many of you are going to be offended this night because of me? Peter, of course, is the one that speaks, but he says, Lord, I'll never forsake you. I'll never forsake you. You know, Peter didn't know himself very well, did he? There's no doubt in my mind that Peter meant that as much as he possibly could have meant anything. He meant it. He just wasn't able to perform it. He didn't have it. He didn't have it. Didn't have what it takes. You have what it takes. He ended up getting what it took. He just didn't have what it took. We blame that on Peter, but that same scripture, if you look at it, says that all the disciples in that thing, they all said, "We'll never forsake you. We'll die first," they said. But they all scattered. They didn't know themselves very well. Lord, help us tonight. Are you one that would say, "Lord, I'd never forsake you"? Are you sure? Lord, reveal myself to me. Let me not be one that don't look at the gauges. Lord, help me to look at the gauges of my life. Help me to see those things. Help me to know where I'm at with you tonight. In Philippians, the 3rd chapter, let me end here in the 15th verse. It says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." And he says of what minded that is, about pressing towards the mark and chasing after Christ and reaching forth. Let us be the same minded. And it says, "If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." There is a promise here in the Bible that whatever we lack, and be otherwise minded of the singleness of heart and purpose that we should have for the Lord, that the Lord would reveal even this unto us. That the Lord would stop us in our course and allow us to see and know and understand. To those that are honest and want to see it, God wants to see it. And I want to say, open your heart tonight to the Lord. There may very well be things that the Lord wants to change, correct. It's what the Word's for. It's for instructions and reproof, and it's for changing from what we shouldn't be to what we ought to be, to change our lives, to make it better. Don't you want to be better? I like the idea of the expedient. Not all things, Paul said, is lawful for me. Well, all things are lawful, he said. I can do this and this, but does it get me where I'm going as quickly as I need to go? I'm concerned about being able to get there in efficient. I want to do it right. It's got to be expedient. Lord, help us tonight. Amen.